Blog Talk Radio.
Hey!
Hey! Welcome to Sex Talk with Derek and Tina and Aaron. We have a guest with us today.
Man, you didn't even build up. You just shot your wad in the first 5 seconds.
No, that's your job.
You're supposed to build up for the climax. What's wrong? You must be really excited about our guest being philosophical and someone on your educational level opposed to me.
What?
Who is, like, you know, sticking in their ass type of guy.
You know, Derek jokes around. He likes to joke around on the show, but he's very philosophical.
You
he ties it on Sex Talk with Derek and Tina.
Stimulating conversation today. Are you excited?
I'm always excited.
Are we selling your underwear now?
I have done that in the past, yes.
Really? How much is it for used panties?
I've gotten as high as like $50, right?
Really?
For used panties, it's awesome.
I'm on Reddit, too. There's all kinds of people selling stuff on Reddit.
Well, it's been a long time since I've done that. As you know, I've done a lot of interesting, weird things. I'm always looking for different, odd little things to try out, but I haven't done that in a very long time.
So could I place my order? Like, you know, I like to eat ass. So do I say put a little more anus juice on it?
Yeah, people can make those kind of requests.
I don't want
You want a skid mark?
I don't want a skid mark.
But you probably could. Have you watched Orange is the New Black?
I love that.
I know. Isn't that great? Remember how Piper created that little business selling panties, smuggling them out to her brother. Then her brother was selling them for online. Prison panties. That was awesome.
Prison panties.
Yeah.
That's got to be kind of hot.
Yeah, totally hot.
And make crotch.
I know, right? Exactly.
It's not being used, really. I don't think.
They are. Have you not watched Orange is the New Black?
Well,
there's all kinds of
stuff. They're like virgins in the prison.
Well, the book was actually
like
written.
A monastery
the book was actually written based on actual events.
It's based on real life, yeah. Now,
really?
They may embellish. Who knows?
Okay.
I don't know how much embellishment. Make it sexier to get more people to watch. Who knows?
Since you're not in the underwear business, do you have any of your girlfriends that are still in it?
You know, there is a company called I Am Wet For You.
Oh, I love that.
Hey,
I'm looking that up now.
I think it's the number 4. It might be if you don't find it, I'll look it up. But they're out of Florida. They have their own website. They have phone sex. And, of course, in the phone sex business, you sometimes have products to enhance the phone sex business.
I Am Wet For You. And those are used panties?
I don't know for sure that they do, or I don't know. Let me look. Hold on.
That's
correct.
My used panties and pantyhose for you. W4M.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of them. You can probably find them on
Craigslist,
too. So the website, my friends, own it is it's I, the letter M, WET, the number 4, the letter U.com.
All right.
Hot
wives. Something to do with my life now.
Yeah. I don't know if they have panties, but you could probably ask your girl for some.
Wow.
Look at that. They have a click for Bored and Drinking. This looks interesting. Bored and Drinking. I think it's an article. Oh, it's a story. It's a hot story.
Cum shot gif on here. Are we on the same page? Are we on this right here?
And then is it blue? Yeah. And then if you click on girls.
Wow. You know what? Breast milk. Lactating women.
Oh, wow. They're they're doing...
I kind of like that.
I don't think it's new. I think it's pretty...
I mean, it's new for me. I'm focused on the ad. But
I can move
up a little bit. I could go up.
So these are my friends, right? And it looks like they don't... It looks like they're updating and changing their website. Because when I clicked on girls, it still got their phone number, but they don't have all the girls and their information and all of that. So I used to be a girl on this site.
Really?
Yeah, I used to be a hot sex. Phone sex girl on this site.
Oh, my goodness.
Many years ago.
And that's that type of stuff I was talking to you about earlier. That fetish keep the age play type thing.
Yeah, that's...
So, you know, I don't know, right? They do have a lot of categories there, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Let's see if they have panties. They probably have panties.
We need used panties.
Panty sluts.
Where are they?
panty slut. I just clicked on it. I know that's her.
Us
as fetish. Dirty little secret fetishes we all have. And these are stories. These are stories. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So anyway, I don't know if they sell them too, but some of these panty slits might also be men who are being directed to wear panties and how they wear their panties.
Why are you always spoiling the fantasy? I don't want to think that a fucking 12-inch Johnson is wearing a fucking pair of panties.
No. Those wouldn't be the ones they sell. But I'm saying a panty slut, like a man who comes to the site who's looking at panty slut, is probably looking it up for himself to be told to go wear panties and do naughty things.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I can't
slam
it because it might feel good in my balls.
You know what? Why not? They're silky. They're nice. Who knows?
I don't know.
For a beaver.
I don't know.
You don't want to try it, Aaron?
No, probably not. Stop me, Aaron.
So we should introduce Aaron. Aaron, what do you want to say about yourself?
Well, before you talk, I just want to kind of like put him out there as a fucking G.I. Joe badass motherfucker, right?
With
an IQ of Einstein.
Wow,
so you take that for what it's worth and picture that guy wearing panties, and it is just too goddamn funny.
You do know that some of those really powerful men sometimes like some of those secret things, a little bit more submissive, because they're very, you know, commanding
and powerful in
their life. And maybe on the side, they might like to wear panties or some stockings or, you know, have something silky on themselves.
I don't know about all that. There's nothing like a woman who could try to take control from it. That's a different thing. I'm not going to wear panties. You know, that's just a little too...
Goes too far for you.
Right.
That's for you. Right, yeah.
But a woman who can take power from you, who can attempt to take power from you.
Interesting.
We have a conversation going on with Aaron that's going to enlighten us from a philosophical standpoint with sex and gender and the whole conversation surrounding it. Because even myself, you know, and even though you gave me a nice kind of compliment in terms of my intellect, I really am in like the old paradigm shift in terms of people and understanding that some people who may have a penis or a vagina may identify themselves in a different category.
Sure.
And so because my endeavor is to be a humanitarian and completely making sure that people feel complete and whole, it's really important to have Aaron on the show to kind of like beat it into my brain here, you know, about the expansive world, I guess.
The expansive, you mean the LGBT+ community.
Yeah. You know, there's a whole world out here, you know what I mean? And I have to get out of my little shelter because in my bedroom, right, I identify as a male.
Sure.
And as everyone knows, I love to.
Oh, we know what now. We know what Derek loves.
With that being said, you know, I need to make sure, and I'm sure that there are some of our listeners out there that are the same, right? Because we're all just reflections of each other. So, if I have somewhat of an issue...
I think we're more of a reflection of media.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at media, the media portrays heterosexuality and your typical straight edge male man. That's what media portrays, and that's a part of our society, our cultures. We push this, that this is what masculinity means and this is what femininity means, and that's what we need to have.
Okay.
We have to have that diversity in between masculinity and femininity, and that's not necessarily the case. There's people out there who are extremely masculine, what we think of as like type A, which that would be you. You are a type A, type
F here. Type A.
Type A. Men can be ass eaters of all types of asses.
Right.
Male asses, female asses. Females right. might eat female or male asses.
Ass
eating is just like...
It's
can
a
be,
great thing.
That's gender neutral. Asses are gender neutral.
Right, because everyone has one. It's
yeah.
It's like an opinion. Everyone has an
yeah.
opinion.
But
yeah.
I am open-minded.
You are.
Right.
You know, ass is our.
Right.
An ass is universal. It's gender neutral, universal.
There's hope exactly. for me yet. Thank God. So, Aaron, a question for you is, because you are, focused on philosophy and understanding life from a variety of perspectives and being able to reverse a perspective to be balanced, how did you not let media influence your decision, and how did you identify or hold on to your identity without being swayed by the media, where so many people may fail?
I don't think I'm actually capable of saying that I wasn't swayed by society.
Okay.
As to who I am and what I am, I became what I am because of the outside.
So who are you?
Great question. I mean, who is anyone?
Like a fucking philosophy,
you know?
Guy.
That's an awesome question. Who am I? And I'm always considering who I am.
Zoolander. Remember that?
I don't know that, but there's this really great little YouTube video. I used to share it a lot. And it's like this, who am I? And then it's all this philosophy. It's very philosophical. And it's very cool.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'll find it again.
But I think society has played a role in who I am.
Okay.
And so I guess I'm kind of the wrong person to actually talk about what sexuality is, because I am your typical type A man, masculine man who is heterosexual.
But are you happy?
I'm extremely
right.
happy. Yeah,
so
I'm
do
happy.
You ever challenge, right? Do you ever say to yourself, well, I'm created the way that I am, based on media impressions or whatever society says. But maybe that's not right, because I'm philosophical, I'm a broad-minded man, I've traveled all over the world, I've fought for my country, right?
Right.
So with that being said, do you ever challenge the media impressions that have been placed upon you to say, hey, maybe I want to, and I'm not even going to say it, because you're just too goddamn masculine to even say this, but, you know, have you ever thought about being or trying to see if you're someone different, or if what you are is absolutely well placed, well founded?
I can't say that I haven't been open minded to different things.
Do tell.
But are you talking about open-minded to specific experiences?
Right.
Oh, right. So that's different.
Right.
It doesn't
define my sexuality.
Right.
It doesn't define my masculinity.
Right.
Got
it's just open-mindedness to
right.
experiences.
Right.
I think it's like what you're asking is like, you know, do you ever think like maybe I'm not who I am? But I think if you have that question, you already know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even if the media is
right.
coming at you, you right. inside yourself know it. Like I have a cousin. She was married, had kids, and I didn't know that she was until, you know, more recently when she said, I'm a lesbian and is
right.
divorced and that kind of thing. And I asked her, you know, I didn't really ever want to ask her too much because it's not really my business. It's her story. It's her life. But, you know, a little bit curious as to, you know, did she always know? And she said, yes, I always knew I was.
Really?
So she'd made a choice. Maybe from media, maybe from other things, maybe life, just things, you know, choices that, you know, she chose the life she chose. But she always knew,
mm-hmm.
and even her husband knew.
Okay.
So,
that happens all the time. There's actually an article that was written late 80s, early 90s in Rolling Stone, I believe, about twins. They were born, and when they were boy twins, when one of them was born, they were doing circumcisions, and the doctor made a mistake and cut too much off.
Mm.
And
oh,
they decided,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's
all right, I remember
a completely
hearing
different
about
topic
that.
About
yeah.
how
yeah.
we shouldn't do circumcisions.
Yeah, and we
but,
shouldn't choose identity
right,
for people,
right.
force it.
And, we chose, you know, the doctors, they had a very questioning time with the parents. And they said, what do you want to do? I mean, we can salvage this and make him a girl. And they did. They made her a girl, and she wasn't a girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't force
and
her.
She always knew that she wasn't a girl. And her parents, you know, tossed her dolls and made things pink for her, you know, made her wear dresses. And
all she wanted to do was play with trucks and, you know, do things that, that her brother was doing. And there was a, that article was written by her brother because he always wanted to know, like, why is my sister beating me at all these sports?
Right. That's got to be a mindfuck for a kid, right?
Yeah,
like you cut
totally.
Off my dick, and then now you're trying to put me in a dress.
But, see, they didn't realize the, you know, that
at the time.
Until later when the doctor finally came out and said, yeah, we made you a girl. And then he decided he wanted to have gender change.
But it's got to be somewhat like Tina said, too. There's got to be a knowing, right? Even if you can't label
just
it.
Just like that girl knew.
There's
got to
be a knowing, right, that something is not right. You maybe can't put your finger on it, but nevertheless, there's something. Because as a child, if they are forcing dresses on you and you're 9 and 10 years old, right, and you know you want to play with the He-Man doll or the, you know, some other, you know, male-geared toy.
But see, all right, but see, with that, it doesn't also, that doesn't also define your gender either. Gender is a social construct. We constructed what gender is. We say what is masculine and what is feminine. And we make men, you know.
Like a truck. But there's masculine men who don't like trucks.
Right. I mean,
but we
have a standard of what a man's man is, and that's not necessarily the case. You know, you can be, you have to be comfortable within yourself to be on your masculinity or your femininity. You know, you have to be comfortable with yourself, and there's women out there, we label them like tomboys, who they just want to be out in the tree and play around.
Right.
But they're not necessarily tomboys. They could totally just be a feminine girl who likes playing
trees. Right, and there's nothing wrong with that.
But labels make money, don't they? You know, it's like a money.
And everybody wants to, I don't know why so many people have a need to label. I think part of it is because my work, because Aaron might not know this, I know Derek does, is around self-love and self-acceptance.
Okay.
So, you know, when you get put all these other things on you, you're not really loving and accepting yourself just for who you are because sometimes there's judgment.
Right.
So, tends to be the judgments come from other people who are judging themselves,
right?
And they judge others.
You know, there's
so
there's a philosophy,
it's
there's
crazy.
A philosophy that goes on that, and that, I think it was Kant who actually brought this up. In the
Kant?
Kant.
Kant.
Yeah, I knew you would go with that.
So easy.
It's basically saying, you know, self-recognition. Everyone has the right to be recognized for who they are. And sometimes that's a little difficult to do because if, you know, I am a XY chromosome man, male, straight, heterosexual, but if I come across somebody who's just kind of, it seems feminine to me, but he's a man, I pass a judgment on him and I have a different recognition of that person than what he has for himself.
Right.
And
your recognition of a man doesn't even matter.
Right.
It's totally irrelevant.
Right.
And the problem so many people have is they will concerned about how other people perceive them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who the fuck cares? You know what, today,
oh,
I didn't feel like doing my hair. So you know what, it's in a ponytail.
Right.
Because I don't give a fuck.
But you still have a measure of, you know, like, consciousness where you say, okay, this is too far. Like how some people go out of the house in pajamas. I would never see you go into the grocery store in those pajamas from Family Dollar. I don't care how much you don't give a fuck. You would never, ever do that.
Maybe.
Yet again, that's society put in projection.
Right. That's a projection. I saw a woman in Starbucks one time. Starbucks, of all places, right? In a onesie pajama, leopard pajama.
Nice.
And I just thought to myself, well.
Is this Starbucks in Grand Blanc? Because I may know the person.
It's so funny. Well, what I wondered about is that I didn't have a judgment, but you kind of wonder. You wonder, like, this person does not give a fuck? They're totally self-confident? Or have they kind of like, I don't give a fuck because I just don't care about anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you almost wonder, like, where's their mindset? And you hope that it's on the side that, like, I'm confident enough to wear my pajamas, my footy pajamas in public to Starbucks.
I just
wonder sometimes. Like, I don't care what people do. I don't have a judgment, but sometimes I might wonder, but I'm not going to ask them. I wonder, are they super confident? Or are they really depressed and don't care?
Well,
you know, like, where's that don't care come from?
Where do you draw that line at, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
How you judge somebody. And that's
why I don't judge them. I just sometimes wonder, but I don't judge them. I'm just like, whatever they are, I'm cool with it.
Right, but see, at that same point, if they're just really depressed, and you never know, you might be able to save somebody's life.
Right.
And so how do you, I mean, how do you, where do you draw the line?
Of asking questions or something.
But if you're not judging, aren't they judging you? Because you can't control, like, say, for example, if we sit on a sexual topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, if I'm open or curious or what have you, right? But this person who is already in that particular category may look at me like a poser or wannabe or not
the one thing about LGBT community, the LGBT plus community, let's just say the alphabet acronym.
Right, just plus, because there's so much things.
The one thing about that is they're very accepting. In fact, part of it is part of their acronym is the ally. And I was just in a conversation about this earlier, and they're very accepting of things. It's not the civil rights era where, where we had our white friends who were, being ostracized by both categories. You know, that's not how it is today.
Okay.
They're very accepting of you. If you are questioning yourself, they'll help you along the lines of who you are.
Well, I'm talking about if I want to have sex with them, right? Because there's a young lady that works for us, right? But she will have sex maybe with a guy if he doesn't identify with a male, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if a guy that identifies as a male tries to approach her, she would be like, no. So,
she's Plutonian, so that's like a whole other level of something different, remember?
Yeah.
She was on our show before, and she's like, I'm Plutonian. I just love, different people in different ways. So,
right.
Yeah. There are categories, right?
Right.
But there is, and my point is that there's always somebody judging. So even if you are open and expansive in your thinking, not everyone's going to necessarily receive you in the same way.
Well, when you're talking about her preferences for sex, that's not a judgment. That's just a preference.
That's a personal preference.
That's her choice.
And nobody has any kind of say or right over what somebody does in their own personal bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. Will you say that again?
Nobody has a right to. How did I say that exactly? nobody has a right to judge somebody based on their preference in their own personal bedroom.
Right.
Their,
Because everybody has that.
I mean, everybody has a fetish. Whether you're a straight, homosexual,
what's
or anything.
What's your fetish, Aaron?
No.
I already kind of mentioned it. I really enjoy a woman who tries to take. Because I'm usually in control and power.
Dominatrix,
I like a woman.
That's different.
I'm
a dominatrix for money and a job. I did that in the past.
Right. And
it's not my personal style.
And I'm not really into the dominatrix thing. I just like a woman who tries to take control
different.
Of it.
Yeah.
Really? Like, so what would a scenario be?
I'll give you a real life scenario.
Nice. Oh, I love that.
It was in the back of my Mustang.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And there was a young lady that I was with that I was not supposed to be with, but that's a completely different story. I was with her in the back seat, and we were messing around, and she had a thing about nails. She liked to dig her nails in my back, and that's, to me, that's kind of, it's painful.
Ouch. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's one of those things like you're trying to take control from me, so I ended up taking her hands and pinning them on the window.
And banging the stuffing out of her, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, G.I. Joe, baby.
She was a soldier too, but then,
nice.
it was about control. I have to have control. I like to control situations wherever I'm at. I like to be able to control it. And when someone tries to take that control from me, via using their nails on me or being too rough with me, I get rougher. And I have to have that control.
Right.
Eventually, I do win.
There's more ways than one, right?
There's a couple times I've just kind of come to her power, but that's.
But sometimes you can just have a little fun and mix it up, right?
Right.
Right.
But I always set a goal.
Okay.
And some of my previous partners, they always. They're like, what are you doing? Like, I always ask them, How many times is that? How many times did I get you off?
Oh
God.
Yeah.
Sorry. I hate that question. I can't stand when men ask that question.
You just want to make sure you satisfied.
It's like, why are you keeping track?
Because you want to make sure you're happy.
I don't satisfy myself.
Break it down.
I get satisfied based on their satisfaction.
Right.
Making you
but
feel
how
amazing.
Many times is it necessary?
Yeah, it's
like
an ego.
It's an ego boost. Right.
Right.
Oh so
God.
If
and
there
was, if I get you off 10 times, I'm like, hell
right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I can only get it off once. And I'm done.
Right.
But you don't ask during the act,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
did you
yeah.
Come
yeah,
baby? Did you come
no,
back?
No. No. I usually know. You can feel it.
You can feel it.
You
can
feel
smell
it.
It.
So
yeah.
I know. But after that first time, it's all just kind of, you know, downhill, and you can't really tell. So I'm like, how many times was that? And then three, I said, damn, we didn't get five. We're going to get five. You know that?
Well, okay. I would like to say I understand that a little bit. I have my one friend. I tell you, I have my one friend in California that I don't see very often. But interestingly, we were just talking last night and this morning. But sometimes we have these little challenge things. But we don't ever talk about it during the act. It'll be like before or after. So we don't do it during, which I don't mind that. But if he were asking me during, that would bug the fuck out of me. I'd be like turned off, and I'd be like, you know what, let's just, we'll be done now.
What,
so,
too needy?
Yeah,
too needy?
Yeah, yeah, too needy for that's, someone to ask me, like, how many times.
That's where you definitely
like,
gotta have to
like,
judge your partner.
But you have to, and you have to, like,
snob.
I am a snob, but you have to know your partner.
Right.
And if your partner doesn't bother, if that's okay for them to ask or you set it up ahead, then that's cool.
Right.
But, like, we always talk about it before or after. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, if we have 3 days, how many times do you think you could come in, like, 3-day weekend? And we'll, like, set this, like, 100
right,
orgasms.
Right.
We'll, like, do these crazy things like that. But neither one of us ever are counting or asking or, you know, really
during
specific
the
during the act. Right.
See, the thing is
it's like,
that
like, part is weird to me.
I'll do that. It depends on the person I'm with. If
yeah.
I'm, you know, if they're okay with me asking in the middle of it, got it. But it's kind of like it's your own personal satisfaction.
But it's also putting
had,
a little pressure on the woman to be in a mindset to have those orgasms, more orgasms for you.
Lick her asshole
right.
First.
See,
I'm telling you.
That's just it.
That's the key to it all.
I've come across women that are upset that they didn't get me off.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, you got yours like 10 times, so I'm not.
But see, they also, in women, a lot of women enjoy getting their man off. The same way you enjoy getting your woman off.
This is true.
So it's,
this is
you
true.
Know.
But getting off is, there's layers of it. It's
no,
mental.
Totally.
There's a mental getting off.
So that's why you got to really explain it to some
G.I.
people.
G.I. Joe goes philosophical. Come on.
but there's a,
Rambo.
There's a mental. It's not always just get it in and getting, you know, busting nut and leaving.
Really?
No, it's.
You're cracking me up. But it's true. Yeah.
Like, I like a woman who gets off multiple times, and
right.
If she doesn't get off, like I'm already, my mind's already done. I'm good. But she might be on a different level. Like I didn't see him, so I'm not satisfied.
Right.
She may have gotten off.
Right.
But that's a physical. You
yeah.
Know, that's
yeah.
Physical.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, they do get.
So you
drunk,
really
they don't
the
come
communication
in.
Is the most important thing.
Right.
Because even though I'm saying like, oh God. But some people like that, and it's no big deal. But what you have to have that you know that about each other. Because most partners I have do enjoy pleasing a woman
how
more than
know?
Pleasing themselves. But I like that. That's like my thing, right?
Right.
So I like that. But I don't. But at the same time, I also want to make sure that they do. But I know that they enjoy pleasing me, so it can be part of it.
Yeah.
But as long as you have that communication so you understand that about each other, you know, like, oh, okay, details. So my one guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So my guy.
You love details.
Listen up,
I know.
Guys.
Right. So I love waking up in the morning.
With a boner in your face?
Yeah, not in my face. But maybe sometimes. But I love to have intercourse with this particular person in the morning. Always in the morning.
Right.
I love waking up and having intercourse with him in the morning. I don't know. It's just like
the erection
big it's like
throbbing.
Yeah, it's just like awesome. But and what's interesting is he brought it when we because we always talk about these things outside of the bedroom, And he said, well, you know, maybe it's also easier in the morning because at night I've just gotten you off like 50 times, blah, blah, blah. You're stretched a little, you're lubricated, you're all that. Because he has a larger penis, right?
But he's tonight, got girth, baby.
Yeah, he does. So in the morning, and I'm like, wow, you know what? That makes sense. That's why part of it is like it's smoother experience too for me. And really, we can do it a lot maybe differently or more or whatever. Because, yeah, and the morning erection is good. And also because I've had the, you know, the whole night before, because we talked about this. Sometimes you have to ice your vagina, ice your pussy sometimes, right? Women sometimes have to do that.
Right.
But if you kind of like stretch the night before and then the next morning, it's like, bam, good to go.
Yeah, I'm perfectly okay with that. Like, I like it when they walk away, you know, kind of lopsided going, shit.
I know, right? It's like crazy. It's like, oh.
That's like, I did that. You know, they're walking bone like it because of me.
Nice. So this is how we do it on Sex Talk with Derek and Tina. We want to say thank you to Aaron Gardner, fabulous philosophical mind, G.I. Joe in spirit, but lover.
But
absolutely. You are.
Yeah.
Aww.
You know what? This was just a perfect match. Someone to balance us out. Tina gets a chance to have her position, you know, like with harmony with someone opposed to me just wanting to ass off the show. You know, one track mind over here. So, Aaron, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being on the show. Please come back and join us. As for me, I am Derek, and she is
Tina.
And this is Sex Talk with Derek and Tina. See you next week.
Bye-bye.